John's Gospel, and first of all in chapter 3, John's Gospel and chapter 3, reading some of the words of the Lord Jesus in verse 14, John 3 and verse 14. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Just turn over a page to chapter 8. Chapter 8 of John's Gospel. And verse 28, "Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things." Finally, chapter 12, John chapter 12, and if you look down the chapter to verse 30, breaking into the passage at verse 30, "Jesus answered and said, This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." Now that's all we want to read with the Lord's blessing. We have read tonight from this great Gospel of John, and we have read the three occasions when the Lord Jesus spoke about how he was going to be lifted up. I want you to think about them, because of course in all of these occasions they bring us to the cross. In John chapter 3, the Lord Jesus said, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." I want you to think of that tonight. There he is lifted up in salvation. We have read in John chapter 8, he said, "When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he." There he is lifted up in revelation. "Then shall ye know that I am he." We have read in chapter 12, tremendous words, when he said, "I, and if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me." Lifted up in attraction. He says, "I will draw all men unto me." The Lord Jesus, three times in John's Gospel, that he spoke about how he was going to be lifted up. You know, it's an amazing thing that the Lord Jesus often spoke about his death. He only ever spoke once about his birth. And it's interesting that the only occasion that he spoke about his birth was on the very day that he died. Do you remember that he said to Pilate, he said, "For this cause was I born." Lifted up. We sing sometimes, "Lifted up was he to die, it is finished was his cry. Now in heaven exalted high, hallelujah, what a Savior." I want you to think tonight of the Lord Jesus, who was lifted up upon the cross. The night that Nicodemus came in John chapter 3, that religious, respectable Jew, that master in Israel, that ruler of the Jews, and the night that he came to the Lord Jesus. And what a conversation it was. And I'm not going into that tonight, but I want you to think of part of the great conversation of what the Lord Jesus said to Nicodemus. He had already told them that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And how real that is tonight. The absolute necessity of the new birth, of a conversion to God, of a salvation by grace alone in the Lord Jesus. And you see, he spoke to Nicodemus and he said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. You know, there's one thing sure that Nicodemus knew all about that. Because Nicodemus was one of the most learned men probably in all of Jerusalem. He had a knowledge of the Old Testament from cover to cover. And when the Lord Jesus mentioned Moses, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, he knew all about that. He was absolutely with them. It wasn't something strange to him. It wasn't something over his head. I trust tonight that what we say will not be over your head, but into your heart. And I trust tonight that what we say in these few minutes, that it'll not just be something that will pass you by, but it will be something tonight that will stop with you. And you know, as the Lord spoke to Nicodemus and reminded him about Moses, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, that was history. He lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. He's thinking of the great story in Numbers chapter 21. When the children of Israel who were traveling and were moving, they got tired with the manna that was sent every day and they just got tired of it. You know, I don't know what you could do with manna. And what different ways they must have eaten it. I'm not sure whether they boiled it or baked it or fried it or what they did. But you'd have to do something different with it. It's like the Irish man with a potato. He has to do something different with it. But whatever they did with it, they get tired of it. And they speak against God and against Moses. And the Bible says that God sent fiery serpents among the people and bit the people so that much people of Israel died. And they were dying on the desert floor. And they went and they came to Moses to do something. And Moses cried to God, and God said to Moses, make a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole, and everyone that is bitten by the serpent and is dying, if they look, they'll live. Simple. But will everybody believe it? Simple. But will everybody obey it? Simple. But will everybody take it in? That's it tonight, you see. The world hasn't changed, you know. Simple. But will you believe it? Simple. But will you take it in? Will you take it in tonight that the Lord Jesus, as the Lamb of God, was lifted on that cross at Calvary, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Simple. But do you believe it? Simple. But will you take it in? Well, you know, the serpent of brass on the pole. And you know, there was only one serpent of brass. Mind you, you know, it was a big camp. The camp that they were, the tents that surrounded the tabernacle, and there was maybe 3 million people. It's a lot of people. You know, they reckon, you know, that that camp from one end to the other could have stretched for 14 miles. Now, there wasn't a serpent of brass on a pole on that corner and that corner, that corner and that corner. There was only one serpent of brass on a pole. Only one. And that's it tonight. There's only one cross, one Christ, one Calvary, one cleansing blood, nothing else. You say, why? Because there's no need for any more. Because in that one sacrifice that the Lord Jesus made upon the cross, there is enough to save all who will come. It's a great message, isn't it? And so the Lord is speaking to Nicodemus that night. Everybody's in their bed sleeping. And here's a man who's inquiring and inquisitive. And the Lord points him back into history. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. From history, he says, necessity, he must be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him, that's the great opportunity, that whosoever believeth in him. Oh, you know, this evening, there's some great words in our Bible, aren't there? We sang, I think, the other night, that grand word, whosoever is ringing in my soul, whosoever will may come. You know, just as those who were dying on the desert floor, bitten by the serpent, my, any one of them could look to that serpent of brass upon the pole, and if they looked, they would live. And I'll tell you this tonight, every one of us who have been bitten by that old serpent, as we remembered last night, and the fall of man and the sin of the human nature, that we all stand condemned and guilty before God. And the fact is this, that we are dead in trespasses and in sins, but if we look to Christ who died upon that cross, he can give us eternal life. That whosoever believeth, that's the great opportunity. That whosoever believeth in him. It's not believing in a religion. No, we're not here tonight to preach a religion. There's thousands of religions in the world. We're not here tonight to preach some code of rules and regulations. If you do this and that and the other thing, that'll lead to that. No, no. We're here tonight to tell you that there was a God who loved you and gave his son to die on the cross. And on that cross, he was lifted up. And there on that cross, he became a sacrifice for sin, and the judgment due to sin he bore, your sins and mine, can be forgiven. That whosoever believeth. It's a great message, isn't it? That whosoever believeth in him, not in a religion, not in a preacher, because listen tonight, you know, don't put any faith in me, for I could disappoint you sorely. Because I'll tell you this, I'm just a failure like everybody else. But tonight we ask you and invite you to put faith in him, the man without flaw or fault or failure, the man who died upon the cross, the only one who could bear sin because he himself had no sin. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish. That's a great security, isn't it? We thought about that word the other night, didn't we? I give unto my sheep eternal life, the Lord Jesus said, and they shall never perish. And here we have it again. Should not perish. You say, what does that mean? Well, you know, there's maybe many words you could use to describe that. But I'll tell you one thing it really does mean. Should not perish. That you'll never lose your soul. That you'll never be in hell. And we sang about that tonight in that first hymn. The reality this evening. Can you put your head on the pillow tonight and know that you'll never perish? That no matter what might happen to you before the morning, there's one thing that's absolutely sure, that you'll never perish. Now, money can't buy that. And religion can't give that, because religion will tell you, try a bit harder and hope for the best, and you'll maybe have a better chance in the end. That's not the gospel tonight. This is not a message that tells people, keep your fingers crossed and you'll maybe get there. The gospel tonight tells us, put faith in Christ who died upon the cross and you'll be there. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life or eternal life. The great certainty, but have eternal life. You know, the Lord Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. My friend tonight, he was lifted up in salvation on the cross. But very briefly, he was lifted up in revelation. Amazing verse that, isn't it? In John 8 and 28, he said, when he says ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he. When you have lifted up the Son of Man, you'll know that I am he. There's one thing sure tonight. If you're going to know and learn the way to heaven, you'll know that and you'll learn that at the cross. It's there that you begin. It's there that you start. Then shall ye know that I am he. You know, the day that the Lord Jesus hung upon the cross, there were two accusations that were hurled against him. There was those that walked by and wagged their heads and reviled him and said, if thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. That was one. And then there was the elders and the scribes and the chief priests, and they said this: if he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him. Two accusations. If thou be the Son of God, if he be the King of Israel. Then shall you know that I am he. Do you know something? On that very day that Christ died, those two accusations were refuted by two different men. If thou be the Son of God, listen to the centurion, the man who was responsible for the carrying out of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, that centurion who had seen it all before. It was all in a day's work to him to crucify people. It didn't cost him that. But I'll tell you this. You see, that day, he realized there was something about the man that was on the middle cross. And that centurion testified and confessed, and he said, truly this man was the Son of God. They said, if he be the Son of God, if thou be the Son of God, the centurion said, truly this man was the Son of God. The scribes, the elders, the chief priests, they said, if he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him. Listen to that other man, the man who was crucified beside Jesus, one of the thieves. Do you know what he said? He said, Lord, listen to it. He said, Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. And that thief confessed that the man on the middle cross was a king who was coming to reign. And the two accusations that were hurled and leveled at him were overturned by two different men that day at the cross. Then shall ye know that I am he. He was lifted up in salvation. He was lifted up in revelation. But he was lifted up in attraction. You know, in John chapter 12, the Lord Jesus said, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And then he said, I, and if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Now is the judgment of this world at the cross. Listen tonight. This world still stands guilty of the death of Christ. This world, the hands of the human race, are stained by the blood of Emmanuel. Oh yes, now is the judgment of this world. This world tonight stands condemned because of what they did to Christ. Ye crucified the Lord of glory. How about wait? He says, now is the judgment of this world. Then he said, now shall the prince of this world be cast out. That's the devil. That he is going to be defeated at the cross. And so he was. But you say to me tonight, but this world's still an awful place. But the point is this. The sentence was passed at the cross. Now is the prince of this world cast out. The sentence has been passed. It will be carried out. Revelation 19 and 10. That the devil was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. But I want you to think of the third one tonight. Listen to it. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Whatever way you may take that tonight, some have rendered it, I will draw all types of men unto me. And that is true, you know. Or whether you take it that if men are not drawn in time to Christ in repentance for salvation, they will be drawn before the great white throne, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You know, tonight, I didn't put those words there. And you know something else? I'm not going to take them away either. He says, I will draw all men, all types of men, male or female, boys and girls, men and women, unto me, lifted in attraction. I want to ask you tonight, have you ever been drawn to Christ? Have you ever been drawn to see the loveliness of the Savior? The beauty of the Savior. The wonder that there upon the cross, as the hymn writer said, he died because he loved me so. He loved me so. Listen tonight. I want to tell you. He was there for a sinner like you and me. You ever been drawn to Christ? Or maybe you just walk on by and say, not for me. And maybe you say, sometime when I'm older, or maybe when I'm dying. You know, there's people would even, I've heard even people say that. I'll get saved when I'm dying. I'll tell you, friend, you mightn't even be able to think when you're dying. And you mightn't even have a second or two. You could be gone like that. He says, I will draw all men unto me. Drawn to Christ. We're not tonight talking about something here that's pie in the sky and some old-fashioned sort of thing from a Victorian day. My, tonight we're speaking about something that's right here and now, that's right for your soul this evening. The fact is this, that you and I are in time, but we're not always going to be in time. Some of these days we're going to be in eternity, and you can't stop it and I can't stop it. And where will you be? Where are you going? Where are you heading? Oh, I know tonight what we're speaking about may sound old-fashioned in the world in which we live, but I'll tell you this. You see, out there in eternity, there's only heaven and hell. There's no such thing as soul sleep, or there's no such thing as limbo, and there's no such thing as purgatory. It's as clear as ABC. And don't try and fudge it. Because it's real. He says, I will draw. Someone here tonight, is he drawing you? In your soul, you know that this is right. You know that this is real. You know tonight that you need it. He was lifted up in salvation. He died for sinners. And he's away up on the throne tonight, a living Savior. He rose again. Lifted up, my, in revelation. Then shall you know that I am he. Lifted up in attraction. Millions have been drawn to Christ from every land, from every island, from every continent of earth. And they're all going to arrive in heaven. And you know something? When we get there, we'll still be drawn to Christ. He will draw us for all eternity. Drawn to him. What about it tonight as I close? Someone willing to say, Christ for me, I'll trust him, I'll take him. Shall we pray? Lord, we ask thee to bless thy word, to speak into our hearts, to bring someone this evening way out of their darkness and the broad road, and bring them into light and salvation, and onto the